session number 9737, reel 3.
Mr. Kanetz, reel 3. What happened to you at the end of the march?
Well, when we arrived at the Reisenstadt after that fortnight marching, in which a lot of people died from hunger and exhaustion, about 10 days later, 10 days or a fortnight later, we were liberated by the Russians. We came into the Reisenstadt. That was a fortress. It was an old Austrian fortress. There were approximately 40,000 people there.
What did the place look like?
Well, imagine a fortress. It was like a town, really. It was supposed to be sort of a model ghetto. But it was full of barracks, really, army barracks. I've been back there last year, you know. No, it's 2 years, is it? But last year. And it's still there.
Preserved as it was?
No. Yes. It's a garrison. It's a garrison, Czech garrison town. Czechoslovakian garrison town. And I went in and had a look at it. And we were liberated there by the Russians. There were rumors going around that the Russians sort of came in earlier than expected because the Germans had the intention of exterminating the whole camp. And in order not to let them to do it, the Russians sort of marched quicker. Well, they got in. Anyway, we were liberated by the Russians. One morning, the Russian tanks came in. They were liberated there. But a lot of people died afterwards, after the liberation, you know.
Can you describe what it was like in Theresienstadt?
After the liberation?
No, before the liberation.
Well, I was only there a few days. We were sort of in a quarantine barracks. And we were about 10, 12 to a room. I managed actually to get out.
To escape?
No, I didn't escape, but I got out of the barracks. Because there were police. They were surrounding these barracks, which were the quarantine barracks. But I was so little and thin that I could get through the...
Through the bars.
And the reason I wanted to get through, first of all, there was a possibility of finding some food, and secondly, one of my uncles, who I think I mentioned before, remarked there were three uncles and myself, but one of my uncles became ill, quite ill, and he couldn't walk. And we were very frightened. Anyway, we came to a place a few days, about three or four days before coming into Czechoslovakia. We couldn't carry him anymore. My other two uncles literally carried him, you know, one under each arm. He couldn't lift his legs; he just carried him along. But they couldn't carry him any longer, so it was. He went on a cart. It was a very dangerous thing to do because they killed the people who couldn't walk. But I think he was one of the lucky ones. Anyway, when we got into Czechoslovakia, we didn't know what happened to him. So one of the reasons that I got out of the bike is literally to find him. And I did manage to find him.
Where was he?
He was in sort of in a makeshift hospital, funnily enough. He was in a makeshift hospital. It took me about a couple of hours to find him, but I did find him, and he was alive.
Had the Germans been giving him medical attention?
No, he didn't get any medical attention whatsoever, but he had sort of, he had a chill, a very bad chill in his legs or something. What happened was that as we were marching along, there was an air raid, a very big air raid, and we stopped. was near a river, and this uncle of mine took his shoes off, and it was a sort of warmish day, and he went paddling into the river while the air raid was on. There were no guards around. We were sort of sitting around the river. We were surrounded by guards, and he got a chill, and he had very high temperature, and he just couldn't walk. Anyway, I managed to find him. and then a few days later, we were liberated.
Did you bring him back into the camp?
Well, he was in the camp, but sort of in a different barracks. And then, yes, my three uncles got together again. One of my other uncle got very ill. He got dysentery and God knows what. And it was after about a week after the liberation, the camp became a terrible place, literally. It was a cesspit. The whole town was one cesspit. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And people died from cholera and typhoid and they overate. You know, right after the liberation, people went out and they grabbed whatever they could, literally, and they stuffed themselves with food, which their bodies couldn't absorb. You know, even I think I was quite strong, but I was literally, you were starved. And after for such a long time and not eating, a lot of people literally died of dysentery and all kinds of things.
So these were rations from the Russian army, were they?
No, at that time we didn't get any rations yet. Or we got, I can't remember, it's very vague, you know, about rationing that time. Every inmate, the minute sort of we could get out, we got out, and there was a lot of looting going on. There's a lot of looting going on, and people got all kinds of things, you know. And they mostly, everybody was looking for food, and there were a lot of German soldiers walking into sort of like they were going to give themselves up. And they had a lot of food with them and all kinds of things. And we grabbed it as much as we could. We must have got some rations after the liberation, because there was suddenly a lot of food, and we literally stuffed ourselves to death.
Did you personally do that?
Oh, yes. Yes, I used to eat, and I used to get blown up. I used to lie down. It was such beautiful weather. There was like a lawn in front of where we had a special place. They got together all the youngsters, and they made sort of like a home. And we got extra rations. And there was a lawn in front of it. You ate and you lay down on this lawn and you slept, and then you got up. You were hungry again, and it went so quite for a few days, probably a week or a fortnight. Until we all got very big bellies. When I came here to England, we all had terrific bellies. All the kids. So,
did you feel personally ill from the overeating?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't ill. Unfortunately, I wasn't ill. I had sort of diarrhea. I had suffered from diarrhea, but I just kept on eating.
Did you personally do any looting?
Yes, yes.
Where from did you go?
Well, I went out. I didn't loot that much. I was too young and I was too inexperienced. I got out and I went in the wrong way. I went in the wrong way. I went with the army, with the Russian army, instead of against it, you see. And so I brought home some food, and I remember a few other bits and pieces, not very much. But the people who went backwards, there was a, you know, sort of against the army, they came to a town called Bolshevitz. I think it was called Bolshevitze. And they found railway wagons loaded with all kinds of food and cigarettes and God knows what. And some people literally got hold of horses and wagons and loaded up with God knows what and came in into the camp with cigarettes and food and all kinds of things. And afterwards, there must have been about 20 or 30 horses running around, in the Eisenstadt, because there was nobody to look after them. And the camp got filthier and filthier because there was no administration there. The whole thing broke down until sometimes later, I don't know exactly how many, a few days or a couple of weeks or so, the Russians sent in a team of doctors and nurses. And within about 3 days, they cleaned up the whole camp. They took every person who was ill in any way. They made hospitals, and they put them in hospitals. And the rest, they cleaned up the town. Sort of, it was a back to sort of some kind of normality.
Had all the guards fled as soon as the Russians came?
Oh yes, they just disappeared. They just disappeared. But most of them got caught. I managed to, I think it was the second day after the liberation, there was about five of us. We went back to where we stayed the last night before coming in into Eisenstadt. And we found, it was a little village, a small village. I can't remember the name of it. And we found one of the couples from Kolditz, one of the Kolditz couples, and I think he got beaten to death.
Did you help to beat him to death?
Yes.
What did you beat him with?
I can't remember what I had. It was some kind of a club or something, you know. We did beat him to death. Yeah.
Do you know who he was?
No. No, I've got no recollection there anymore. I wouldn't remember his name anymore, but he was one of the couples.
Do you know where he came from?
He was a German. I don't know where he came from, no, but he was a German. Oh, he was a prisoner. Also a prisoner, you know.
A criminal prisoner?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Did you really hate him then?
Yes. They were really hateful people. The couples were really hateful. Because they did all most of the dirty work. So
did he say anything to try to persuade you to save his life?
Oh, I don't know. I can't. This is so vague. You're talking about something which happened 40 odd years ago, and it's really going back a bit. I can't remember what happened, but we found him, and we dragged him out. He was hiding in a barn. And we dragged them out, and there was a couple of Russian tanks there in the square. And I think the Russians helped as well, or they encouraged us, and we beat him. We beat him to death.
Did you tell the Russians why you were doing it?
Oh, yes, they knew. They knew. We told them, yes. Yes, we told them.
Had this campo been responsible for people's deaths?
Probably. But basically, see, Kolditz was like a work camp. Was a work camp, and he probably was responsible for quite a few deaths. I wouldn't be able to name real names or give you specific times or what happened. But a lot of people got beaten to death in that camp.
Did you see other people being beaten to death?
Oh, yes. You know, this was sort of an ordinary thing going on all the time. You know, beatings were always happening.
Were they guards or capos?
Both. The guards... No, I don't think the guards... The ordinary soldier guards sort of didn't do any beating unless they were asked to. And then they did. They used to use their rifles. Was the butts of their rifles they used to beat.
Who would ask them to do it?
Usually there were two or three what they call the Unteroffiziers. They were sort of like, not sergeants, I think they were corporals. I would say there were higher than sergeants. There were two. They were no. There must have been higher. What comes after a sergeant?
Sergeant major.
No. An Unteroffizier must be like a second
lieutenant.
Sort of like a second lieutenant or something like that. And they were more or less in charge, those fellows. And if they find somebody, they used to take a fellow and put him in the middle, between two soldiers, and they each one used to hit them with a rifle until, with the butt of a rifle. They broke the bones usually. And usually died very shortly afterwards.
So the revenge was mainly against the capos rather than the guards, was it?
Well, the guards themselves, the ordinary soldier guards, they were sort of faceless. You couldn't recognize them. The officers, yes, and the capos, that's what more or less you were dealing with these all the time, because they were in charge. They were in charge of the prisoners.
So you felt more strongly about the capos than the guards?
Yes, the capos usually were very bad lot. In all camps, in all concentration camps, the capos were a bad lot.
Were they always Germans?
No. They were from all nationalities. The French, I remember. There were some Russians, usually from the Ukraine, Ukrainians, and Russians as well. Although there were a lot of Russian prisoners of war who suffered very badly in the camps as well.
Would any Jews be picked as capos?
Not in Germany, not in places like Buchenwald or Kolditz. No, they weren't in Germany, but they were in Poland during the time we were in camps in Poland, and a lot of them died, a lot of them got killed, and when we came to Buchenwald, a lot of them were quietly eliminated.
Because they were Jewish capos?
Yes. They literally disappeared.
So when...
They were selective. The ones that were bad, that usually disappeared.
So the prisoners killed the capos?
Yes, they usually disappeared. Yes, in Buchenwald. When we came to Buchenwald, that's when they disappeared.
How did you get hold of them in Buchenwald?
Well, they were with us, you see, but usually there must have been some kind of organization, because they usually get up in the morning and one of the fellows was missing. So he was removed during the night or something like that.
And where would he be found?
I don't think he was ever found.
So, but what...
You see, in Buchenwald, a lot of people died in Buchenwald. There are thousands and thousands of people died in Buchenwald, so one more wouldn't have made any difference.
But what happened to his body?
Well, in Buchenwald, the bodies were collected every morning, or sometimes I think twice a day. They were collected. Usually, anybody who was dead in the morning, they were usually stripped, because the inmates would strip them, and they were really they were dragged out and put on sort of like on a heap, and a wagon would come at a certain time and take them away.
But why could the prisoners do this to capos in Buchenwald and not in other places?
Well, in Poland they couldn't do it. Don't forget, I came from Poland into Germany, into Buchenwald. That's where it happened, you see. Because in Poland, while we were there, they were in charge, more or less. So when they came to Buchenwald, they lost the power. They became ordinary prisoners, like everybody else. And that's where a lot of people felt very strongly. Some were quite bad. Yes, they could have reacted different ways.
Did you help to kill any capos in Buchenwald?
No, I didn't. But there was one fellow. Unfortunately, he died. He died when we boarded a train in Czernichov going to Buchenwald. He died on the way, And they weren't called coppers, they were called policemen. They were policemen. And that man, although he was a friend of the family.
Friend of your family?
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of my uncles, after he got married, was a neighbor of this man. And he was lucky to have his wife and his daughter with him in camp. I don't know what happened to his wife or his daughter, whether they survived or not. But he didn't. He died. But I sort of felt very strongly against this man. And it's quite a story. If you want to illustrate the story, I can't remember whether I've told it to you or not. Well, the story goes like that. I used to work, I mentioned it before, I worked on shifts. But when we used to finish our shifts, then normally we were asked to work longer. So if I did work extra shifts of going to the kitchens or whatever, into the German kitchens or in the Polish kitchens to help out peeling potatoes and things like that. We tried to get out of it as much as we could. Also in the weekends, you know, they could come and take you to work, so even if the factory was closed. Because I worked on shifts, I couldn't go in and to work into the factory without the backups, without everybody else. So literally on Sunday, we didn't work. On Sunday, they didn't work. But they used to take us to work on the... They used to have... They used to bring trees in the winter, especially for stacking trees, because they had a sawmill there as well. They made their own boxes for the plate glass that they used to make, and this was a very difficult job because first of all we were very small, and secondly stacking trees is a very skilled job. And a lot of people got hurt doing that, and everybody tried to get out of it as much as they could. Well, one Sunday, I was literally caught. I hid, but I was caught. So I came down on this like a square, and everybody was standing ready to march out. And I went up to the fellow in charge and said, "Look, I've got no shoes. I've got to go back." and get my shoes. So when I went back, I hid again. Well, I remained hidden for quite some time. And after the column had gone out of the camp, we were in like a two-story building. I happened to go up to the window and look down, and there was this policeman downstairs, and he saw me. Well, he was very much... He got in a rage, you see. Anyway, he came up, knocked at the door. He says, "I know you're inside, come out." I mean, what good would it do him whether I went to work or I didn't go to work? The column had gone. But he felt so strongly about it. Why, I don't know. I opened the door, and we went downstairs. But he made a mistake. He went first. Let me go behind him. Because of that, as we came out from the door from these barracks, it was also like a big house, like a barrack house, there were four very large barrels of sauerkraut near this door. And being a little fellow like I was, he went first, I came behind him, I just crawled in between these four barrels, and I disappeared. And I was sitting there in the hollow between the four barrels. But when he turned around, I disappeared again. He didn't know where I was. And after a few minutes, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, sitting between these three barrels, he went away and I went back up to my room. Well, I can't remember how it happened, but he caught me again. And he took me down to the guardhouse. I don't know what this man would have... What would matter to him whether I did go to work or not, but he had got the mentality of these policemen, the Jewish policemen, you know. I think the mentality of once you get power, and the power over somebody, you try and exercise it. You think by doing something like this, maybe you will help yourself or whatever. Anyway, they took me down. He took me down to the guardhouse, where there were two other boys there as well, and one got beaten up. The first one got beaten up, and the second one got beaten up. When it came to my turn, I just got one fellow hit me with a stick, and I just ran away. So I didn't get very much beaten up, and I ran away. But I felt very strongly against this man, very strongly. I said to him, "If I ever find you after the war, I'll kill you." They became very much obsessed with their own power, with their own. It's very difficult to put it into words.
But did you manage to get back on him?
No, because he died. He died, like I said, he died on the way when we were taken out from Chernstrov, just as we were boarding the train. I don't know how, whether he collapsed and died, but we saw him literally collapsing and dying.
Now, going back to Theresienstadt, can you describe the scene when the Russian army came in? What was it like?
Well, we suddenly the tanks came in. The Russian tanks came in, and a lot of most of youngsters and anybody who could, we got on these tanks and we ran out of the camp. A lot of people were standing around the walls, and a lot of German soldiers and went past, and they literally stripped them, the inmates of the camp. They stripped the soldiers. Like I said, it was jubilation. So for 24 hours, it's more or less, you could have done what you wanted.
Strip them to get their clothing, you mean?
Get their clothing, get with any possessions they had, and a lot of people went into the villages. There were a lot of Germans in the villages. And all the Germans, by law, they had to hang outside a white flag, every German. So you knew where the Germans were. And a lot of people used to go into the houses and loot them. I don't know what else they did, but for the first... It lasted for about 24 hours. Afterwards, law and order was restored.
Were any of the Germans killed?
I don't know. I can't remember that. I don't think so. You dealt mostly that time afterwards with the German... mostly army, you know, soldiers and... But a lot of people got robbed them, binoculars, swords, guns, Lugas, and all kinds of souvenirs people got.
So when you saw the Russian army coming, you must have could hardly believe your eyes, I suppose.
Well, we knew they were coming. We knew they were coming. I mean, we knew that Americans coming from one side and the Russians were coming from the other. But we were lucky, I suppose. I was liberated literally in the last day of the war, on the 8th of May.
Did the Russians look as though they'd been through fighting?
No, they looked quite cheerful and they were smart and they were, literally the Russian army. But, I mean, the fighting was literally over. The fighting was over. It was the last day of the war.
How did they react to you?
Oh, very, very, they were very nice.